Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The story of the night, though, is not the referee, Rob. It was Patrick Mahomes. And I know you saw the left-handed pass he threw.
Yeah, he changes hands and tosses the ball.
About a 10-yard completion, something like that, for a first down. I believe it was the Kareem Hunt. I love this guy. Now, people, we talked about this before with Jared Goff. But people are, I don't know what it is today. Maybe it's because now we have so many talk shows and sports talk radio shows.
You're 100%.
You and I remember a time when you didn't have national sports talk radio shows.
Or radio,
and you were
or
even local.
You didn't. Yeah. Or there was like one show in town, maybe. You know what I mean? On a talk station.
And it was rarely. But we remember the time when there weren't sports channels on the radio.
Not at all.
Where it was 24 hours a day sports. And, of course, there were no, you know, Undisputeds and First Takes and all these debate shows on TV. I don't know if that leads to people overstating things.
I think a part of it is that you got to have something every day to feed the monster. And it's the same thing. It's not like when people talk about even like on the news and they say, oh, you know, all this stuff is like the world's coming. If you watch any of the news channels, right, for a length of time, you think the world's coming to an end. Everything is like dramatic, like, oh, my God, there's a poison food. Oh, my God, there's this. There was a tsunami here. Oh, wow. You just go.
You're right.
And it's just a news cycle that goes on and on and on, and I think people need to just pump the brakes. He's a fascinating, unbelievable start to his career, but I hate to break it to people. We've seen guys have unbelievable starts to their careers. We have.
Yep.
It's just not unique
recently,
to him.
I mean, heck, last year, Deshaun Watson was on fire he got hurt. He was phenomenal. What he had? He had, here are the numbers in front of me, 21 TDs, 8 interceptions in his first 6 games.
Right, 21 touchdowns.
21 touchdowns. That actually, because Mahomes has 14 in 4 games.
Right.
So that's a bigger pace, I believe, than Mahomes is even on. So he was phenomenal. And now they're, 1-3, one of the most disappointing teams in football. Now, he played well Sunday, and he's, you know, he's good, but he's not lighting the world on fire like he was last year.
Right.
And then RG3, when he was a rookie, he was a Pro Bowler as a rookie.
And here's the other part. This, I'm not trying to put water on Patrick Mahomes and put the fire out or whatever, but I'm just telling you. You ready for this? Last year, the Chiefs started out 4-0 last year.
Always seem to do that under Andy.
You
Reid.
Know it. They choke in the playoffs. Yep. It's happened over and over. So here we are last year. You ready? So last year, they were 4-0. Alex Smith had 9 touchdowns, no turnovers. He was completing passes at a 76% rate. The team was 4-0, including a blowout win in New England.
42 points. Yep.
And a home win against the Eagles. So the wins are even more impressive than what they've had this year. And that's not to take away one single thing from Mahomes. It's not.
Right.
It's just to put it in some sort of context. Like people are acting like we've never seen this before.
You're right. Give us a call at 877-99 on Fox if you want to weigh in. Should people slow down? Again, Shannon Sharp compared him to Aaron Rodgers today. Skip Bayless wondered if he can be a top 10 quarterback of all time today. I mean, people are praising this guy beyond belief. And look, let me say this. I love him.
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah.
Just from football. That's not it. I'm with you. There's nothing
but
to dislike.
What I will say is this. What he's doing does look like, you know, like you can continue doing this. It's not like he's running, you know, for all this yardage like a Michael Vick or, you know, even an RG3 in his rookie year. His stuff is sustainable. He's scrambling. There's no question, but he scrambles to throw the ball.
Yeah, but the only thing is
he kind of like moves in the pocket to me like Russell Wilson. But his accuracy and his arm strength is incredible, and he's making these throws across the field, strange angles. I mentioned the left-handed toss. I mean, I love him. I don't see anything that tells me he can't continue and eventually become one of the top, or if not the top quarterback in the NFL. But I just know history. And I'm just saying, as you said, let's just slow down a little bit because it's only four games.
Let me get here's the other one. Colin Kaepernick. I'm going to read you, all right? So when Colin Kaepernick first started, he was on fire as well, right? He was a dual threat. And in his first seven regular season games, Chris, you ready? He threw for 1,814 yards. 10 touchdowns, and he rushed for 415 yards and had 5 touchdowns. He was so impressive after those 7 games that Ron Jaworski, who was at the right. ESPN football analyst.
And a quarterback himself.
And a quarterback, right, who played a long time in the NFL. Yep. So here's a guy who knew the position, was an analyst, wasn't some wacky writer who was making some hot take.
Right.
He says this, quote, "I truly believe Colin Kaepernick could be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever." quote, "I love his skill set. I think the sky's the limit," period, end quote. And all I'm saying is Colin Kaepernick was an unbelievable. People thought you wouldn't be able to stop him. Do you remember?
Right.
Like, how are you going to stop this guy?
Well, people thought the quarterback position had been changed forever.
Yes.
Between Kaepernick and RG3.
No doubt about
it. That was the talk, right?
Yes, it was. And unfortunately, Kaepernick came back to earth, and he had a nice run, 3 straight NFC championships, and they went to the Super Bowl. They didn't win, but he had a great run with the 49ers.
Yeah.
You can't take that away from him.
And he was even last year or, 2 years ago when he last played, he was a solid quarterback. Above average, I'd say. Should definitely still be in the league, but even if he were still in the league, I don't think he's going to be a star.
Right, and that's all we're saying is pump the brakes. As great as this kid is playing, we've seen people, RG3 busted out and was unbelievable. People thought, okay, you just said it. We're going to change the quarterback position. It's just be careful.
People were in love with Dak Prescott.
Yes.
Really? You know, it was like...
It's hard to believe now, but you're right.
Really hard to believe.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Did you see the new excerpt from the book that Gary Myers, who we both know from New York Daily News, also
I work with Gary, yep.
So you know him well.
Yep.
Longtime NFL writer, wrote for the Dallas Morning News. He's got a book coming out in October 9th, just next week, called How About Them Cowboys? And basically in the book, he talks about why Jason Garrett has remained in Dallas so long, 8 seasons right now, despite only having 1 playoff win to his record. He's actually the second longest coach in Dallas history behind Tom Landry. Landry, of course, won 5 NFC titles. So big difference between those two. But he says that Jason Garrett has survived so long in Dallas because Jerry Jones wants a puppet. That's not a direct quote, but he said Jerry wants a guy that he can control. Jerry wants a guy that's not going to have as much power as he has. And one thing he says is that Jones likes him, this is a direct quote, and is averse to starting over with a new coach. He's comfortable with Garrett and may think this is as close as he will ever get to adding head coach to his many titles. So essentially that's saying Jones is almost coaching the team.
Well,
and that's
one
of the problems.
That is the problem, and that's why they haven't won in forever and a day, is that once he decided that he wanted to be the GM and be the de facto coach and, you know what I mean, and have his hands into everything. I know he played football or whatever, but when the team was run by football people, the Cowboys were winning championships. They had a dynasty going, and they haven't ever since Jerry and his family took over. And the whole idea of Jason Garrett being a puppet, I mean, here's his theme song. You remember Howdy Doody the Puppet?
Yes, I do.
Howdy
yes,
Doody, for people who don't know, all you got to do is Google it. But Howdy Doody was a puppet show that used to be on TV. And that's really, I think, Jason Garrett, you know, like, it sounds mean-spirited, but you do get the feeling that's why Jerry keeps him around. Because the Cowboys...
It's the only explanation,
right, it
Rob.
Doesn't make sense.
It's the only explanation. It doesn't. I mean, you're supposed to be America's team. And you're not. I mean, you are in that you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're popular and people from all over the nation like you. And, you know, you got people in all parts of the country whose favorite team is the Dallas Cowboys. We get that. But I'll say this. I think you have a whole generation of kids growing up saying, what? That's America's team?
They're more like South America's team because they're always got a bad record.
There you go.
Right? They're below the 500 mark. That's why.
I mean, seriously, don't you think kids are saying, how in the world did they become America's team?
Right.
They haven't done anything. They haven't won a Super Bowl. When was their last Super Bowl? 94? They won 3 in 4 years when Jones first got there.
Yeah.
And that's when, as you said, he kind of began wanting more credit. He didn't like – they won 95. That was their last Super Bowl. He didn't like that Jimmy Johnson seemed to be getting so much credit and actually
and all Jimmy Johnson
him
did,
taking credit.
Right, but all he did was win a championship in college, right, and then go to the pros. So
then
Jimmy Johnson
wins two.
Right. So Jimmy Johnson should have gotten credit. And then he felt like, well, we don't need him. And the team was so good that even after they got rid of Jimmy Johnson, they were able to win one more. You know what
with
I mean?
Barry Switzer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the whole thing. And then after that was over, it's been paltry. There's not much going on. I mean, you could talk about how much the Cowboys are worth and the stadium and all the other deals they have and all the merchandise they sell. But they don't win. They don't rate. They're not in the mix anymore.
Not at all. And it's not looking good right now. I mean, let's be like, you look at this team. I mean, they're not scaring anybody. You got Ezekiel Elliott is great. Dak Prescott, you know, the jury's still out, but it's not looking good right now. I think it's a better chance that he's just an average quarterback, not a franchise guy, than that he is one at this point. I haven't liked what I've seen lately from him. And it's just Jerry Jones is a huge part of the problem. He doesn't want a strong coach. When you had Bill Parcells, now granted, Parcells didn't have a ton of success there. Made the playoffs once in his 3 years. But after that, it was over. He brought in Wade Phillips, who is a great coordinator, but not a great head coach.
Just didn't work out as a head coach, right.
No, and not a strong – you know, he's not the type of coach that's going to want control like a Parcells or Jimmy Johnson. And then after that, you fired him, and then it's been Jason Garrett ever since there. And he's been to 2 playoffs in 8 years.
Which is a
– I mean, how in the – they're talking – people are talking about Mike Tomlin being on the hot seat. And how in the world does Jason Garrett keep surviving – other than that, Jerry Jones wants a puppet. That's it.
Jerry Jones doesn't want anybody who's going to push back and going to tell him no and you know, want to decide on make decisions on players and whatnot. So he can do it as long as he wants or whatever. And as long as they, I guess, make money, he's fine with it because he definitely hasn't been winning. He really needs to win again because even when you think about it, it's like, that run was just, they had the right group of players that were together. You know what I mean? They were really good. But ever since then, they've had a lot of misses. And
oh my gosh.
Things have been bad. And Cowboy fans, they could poo-poo it all they want and rant and rave. But right now, even after they had the two rookies with Dak and Ezekiel Elliott, you know, two years ago, and thinking that the future was bright, 3 years ago now, right? 3 years ago.
Yep.
It's not as bright anymore. It doesn't feel the same way. Ezekiel Elliott's playing, balling out, but Dak Prescott is definitely the weak link.
No, without question. And their receiving core is poor as well. A lot of it's on Dak, but he doesn't really have a ton of guys to throw to. Daryl Johnson, remember the former Cowboys fullback?
Oh, yeah.
He had a quote in the book by Gary Myers, How About Them Cowboys, where he says that, you know, he talks about Jones. He's made some good decisions. He's made some poor decisions. But he also says, direct quote, but all he wants to do is win. That's all he wants to do. Sometimes it impacts his decision-making process, but we always knew it came from a good spot. I question that. I question if all he wants to do is win. I think he wants to win, of course. He definitely wants to win.
But he wants to win.
But he wants the credit.
Right. That's the problem. That's where it comes in. He does. He wants the credit.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
And we've been trying to get this next guest on our show,
man,
for the longest. I think he's been ducking this, Rob. I don't know, you know, he knows what time it is. He's gone against both of us on his show Undisputed with Skip Bayless. It is the 3-time Super Bowl champion, Shannon Sharp. What's happening, man?
What up?
Welcome to the Odd Couple.
Yeah, what's going on, Chris? Detroit, what it is, bro?
What's happening? How you doing?
I'm good. I just finished training, so I just got it. Just got home and getting ready to eat. So I said, let me get these guys a call.
So is this the third workout of the day?
Today.
I know,
you do
right?
Three a day, right?
Nah. Normally two, but I only got in one today.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
We're
gonna get right to it. We were just talking about your quarterback, John Elway, and why he hasn't been able to select a good quarterback. Now you got Case Keenum. He's obviously had Osweiler and Lynch and failed in those guys. What do you think, you know, sometimes the great ones have trouble picking. We see Michael Jordan and Charlotte having trouble like that. So what do you think it is why Elway hasn't been able to find his quarterback?
Man, you know, a lot of it has to do with, I mean, just think, if he selected in 2011, he had the second pick in the draft. The first pick in the draft was Cam Newton. He gets Von Miller. Now, you're not disappointed, but that's not a quarterback. You want that guy. It's not that easy. I mean, you know, you think about Miami, they've been trying to find Dan Marino's replacement since he retired in 2000. Buffalo's been trying to find Jim Kelly. It's not as easy as you think. Some teams get lucky. You go from Joe Montana to Steve Young, or you go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. But for the most part, if you have a franchise great quarterback, you have lean years before you find that other selection. And so while John has been successful at maybe selecting, you know, a Von Miller, he drafted, found Chris Harris Jr. Man, it's some people, you know, think about how many coaches and GMs have lost their job. Just look at Cleveland. How many GMs and head coaches they've had trying to find that one guy?
Yep.
It's not easy, man. It's not easy.
No doubt about it.
When you're great, and see, people think when you're great, it's easier. Well, you ought to know what it looks like. No. That makes it harder because you think everything came so easy to you. You think, well, why can't he do that? Oh, he should be able to do that. And it's not that easy.
Hey, no doubt about it. Speaking of not being that easy, has Dak Prescott, I know they beat the Lions this past week. He had a big throw late in the game. But the offense has really struggled, and he struggled. Has he been exposed? Is he as good as he was year one, or is he not somewhere in the middle between year one and where he is now? Because he looks bad to me. Tell me.
Well, here's the thing, Rob. Everybody automatically thinks, well, look how great he plays. He's only going to get better. Well, maybe he maxed out. Maybe that's as great as Dak as we're going to see. People automatically assume that if you play great in year one, you're only going to build in that. The Tom Brady we see was not the Tom Brady we saw in year one, year two, year three. He got better. And when you go what he went, what, 24-3, 24-4 as far as touchdown and interception, man, that's asking an awful lot. I just think the Cowboys tried to make him something that he wasn't ready to be yet. This is a running-based football team. When Zeke runs the ball well, it forces you to drop an eighth guy down in the box to stop the run. And now teams can't get exotic in their coverage. Dak knows he's going to be throwing against single high safety. But when you can't run the football and it says, okay, we're going to make you beat us, Dak Prescott, and we can get exotic, he struggles. That's just plain and simple. It's not to say that he won't get better as years progress. He's just not there yet.
It's the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, joined by our guest Shannon Sharp. And Shannon, let's move on to another quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, obviously he's been lights out. You can't help but love what you've seen so far. You compared him, I think you said he reminded you of Aaron Rodgers today on Undisputed. Rob and I have been saying we love what we see, but we just need to slow down because, you know, RG3,
yeah.
Dak Prescott, Colin Kaepernick, we've seen a lot of guys start out well, but yeah. Four games is just a small sample size. But are you convinced he's the real deal? He's going to be a great one?
No. The thing is that when I try and project, I'm trying to look at, okay, coaches, is his coach, general manager on solid ground? Yes. Okay, what do they have around him? You look at Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce. For the next 3 to 4 years, that group is going to be together. So he should get better. If you look at the things he can do, you almost are forced to like treat him like Aaron Rodgers and force him to throw the ball from the pocket. Because when he gets outside the pocket, he's not looking to run. Although he can run, that 8-yard touchdown lets you know he has better speed than people give him credit for. But the throws that he can make, the accuracy that he displays on the move is very Aaron Rodgers-esque. What makes Aaron so good, what separates him from other quarterbacks, is that the pinpoint accuracy that he has that most quarterbacks need to throw from a level platform, which is in the pocket. He can make those throws on the move, rolling left and right. I agree with you that we need a larger sample size. We need to see more of. But thus far, you look at what he's surrounded by, and that's what the young quarterbacks that we like what we see, what are they surrounded by? Look at Jared Goff. They go get him a Brandon Cook. They got Robert Wood. They got Cup. They
right.
got they
really,
got
yeah.
weapons around him. Carson Wentz, they surrounded him with weapons. Well, if you want Dak to throw the ball, if you want him to be that guy, shouldn't you give him something to throw to?
No doubt. No doubt. And you know what? They took away the receivers from him.
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't have a problem with them moving on with Dez. Dez is clearly with the receiver that he was in 2014. And if he thinks he is, and those that believe in Dez, Dez apologists, they're fooling themselves. But if you're going to replace somebody, you should at least bring someone in that's a replacement. I don't think they replaced Dez. I still think Dez would be their best receiver on that roster.
You think Dez is his career is over?
Go ahead, Chris. What'd you say?
You think Dez's career is over? That nobody's picking him up?
You know the thing is, Dez's heart is in Dallas, and I think people are starting to see that he really wants to play for Dallas, and he doesn't really want to play. Now I don't know if he has an injury because he keeps saying when I'm right. I think what he means by right is mentally, because this shook Dez. When you get released, take it from a guy that's been released. You have to question yourself because you're like, okay. Now, for me, I was in Baltimore. I got released after making the Pro Bowl and leading all tight ends in receiving. And I got released. And I'm like, well, damn. What am I missing?
Right, yeah.
So now you have to recalibrate yourself and say, okay, I'm not the guy that I once was. Let me head back to the drawing board. Let me see what am I missing. You go back and look over the tape. I'm like, okay. No, I'm not as fast. I don't get in and out of breaks like I once could, but I still can do some things better than most. So let me try to stay in that lane as opposed to getting into that lane where people can take advantage of what I'm starting to slow down on. And so that's the question Dez is going to have to ask himself. See, Dez needs to be honest with himself. See, Dez thinks because he plays in the Cowboys and that star, he's still that same guy, and he's not.
Shannon, what about the New York Football Giants? And they figured that they get Eli some weapons, they get him a running back, they get OBJ back in the fold, healthy, and they were going to be able to still utilize Eli, and he'll be able, with a better offensive line, they improved, supposedly. And Eli just hasn't been that guy yet. I mean, they're averaging 18 points a game, and they haven't scored 30 points or more in, what is it now, is it 3 years?
It's like 3 years.
It's like 3 years. What's going on with Eli? Does he have anything left in the tank?
Man, I mean, the thing is, as you get older and people remember, yeah, he probably can give you a game or two. But I just don't see the consistency in which Eli can give it to you, you know, like he once could. Eli hadn't been good for a while. And see, people keep falling back on, well, he won two Super Bowls. Yep. He beat Tom Brady. Bruh, the one thing I love about sports is that you must update your resume. You don't get to live on what you did in the past. They compensated Eli for that. Now they're paying Eli to perform a job, and he's not getting it done. It's plain and simple. It doesn't take away. I think sometimes, guys, in this business, you know this. You guys have been in this business a long time. People think when you criticize someone, you're taking away from what they're done. No, we can never take those Super Bowls back. But from what we've seen moving forward, Eli hasn't been good in a minute. And we need to stop saying, well, he was. Oh, yeah, he has. But what does that have to do with now? How does winning those Super Bowls help the Giants right now?
Right, right. Well, Shannon, we can't let you out of here without a LeBron question. So, look, I think he's going to win the MVP.
Oh, I just threw up in my mouth.
They're going to have to win at least 50 games. So I'm saying 53 wins. And LeBron's the MVP. What's your prediction?
I bet Skip 5K's the dude that they get 54 wins.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm right there with you on the win total, and I believe he'll win the MVP also.
I think he really wants
Can
it.
I get in on that, Shannon? Can I get a bet? Can I get a bet down?
Yeah, what you want?
Let's do a steak dinner.
Okay.
All right, steak dinner. Anything 54, 53 or less, I win.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be good.
Yo, his 3-point, now granted, it was just one game. His range and his 3-point shot, if he's going to shoot it well, then it's going to be on and popping.
Oh, stop. Yeah. Come on. You talking about a preseason game?
No, I've watched him on his little tapes in the offseason. He was working on that three.
He has been. And he feels comfortable pulling up in transition with that three.
Yep.
He tried to be like Stephen Clay.
Right, right, right.
LeBron James has a better chance of winning the Academy Award than an NBA championship.
Well, we might not win it this year, but I tell you what, I bet we get a D on our report card next year. We're going to get AD or KD. Bet that.
All right.
I think AD's the best shot.
Well, we getting the D. I don't care what it is, we getting the D.
Getting a D.
All right.
All right, Shannon, man.
Man,
great
appreciate
job.
It. I'll see you on the show in the morning.
All right, bro. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks.
All right, thanks.